It's so good to be with all of you this Palm Sunday. I'm sure it feels a little different for you being there in your homes. It certainly feels a little different for me being here in this worship center without all of you here. Normally on Palm Sunday, you can remember how this place would be filled with people. We'd have children under kindergarten age coming down the aisles carrying their palm branches, and we would all be singing together. It's such a great time together. One of the things that these days of staying at home in order to stay safe has done for us is to help us to differentiate between what is essential and what is not essential, what is most important and everything else. For instance, we've had to adjust to food. What is most important to eat? What are the essentials? And for some of us, figuring out how to cook meals at home again, because we haven't done a lot of it in the past, versus going to restaurants and just choosing which kind of food we want to eat. What's the restaurant we feel like being in today? Another thing that we've had to think through is the importance of family and spending time together as our families versus getting together with lots of friends and having groups together and maybe even parties. We've had to process the difference between faith, personal faith, our relationship with God, and what we do as a church, as a body of believers together when we're all in a group. And as we look at Scripture this morning, as we consider the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives on that Palm Sunday, we're going to look at the difference between being a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand who we are and truly have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we bow before you, our Father, but our King. Lord Jesus, we worship you today. As the people would celebrate your entry into the city, we want to celebrate you, but we don't want to just be fans. We want to be followers. We want that celebration to come from a deep personal commitment to you. So as we open your word today, would you give us great understanding of who you are as our King and our protector, our Savior, and give us clarity to understand who we are, to understand whether or not we are fans celebrating your arrival, or whether we are truly followers committed to you in every way. So open our hearts and open your word to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. It was on this day, so many years ago, that Jesus made his way on the back of a donkey from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. He would go down this deep valley and make his way up the hill on the other side right into the Temple Mount area. The setting couldn't have been more perfect for a huge celebration. It was the beginning of a week of festival. Everyone from all over the country had assembled in Jerusalem for the Passover. This is the beginning. And here comes this amazing rabbi who heals the sick, who everyone wants to hear preach to them. This rabbi is making his way down the Mount of Olives. People are rushing out of the city as they hear the commotion outside. He's on a donkey. Zechariah had prophesied that their Messiah would come one day riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9, verse 9. And so as the people see him coming down, they take off their cloaks and they put them in the path in front of him. And others are grabbing palm branches and waving them. And the celebration was huge. There couldn't have been a more dynamic setting for Palm Sunday. But the contrast of a couple days later couldn't have been more drastic. You see, a couple days later, Jesus is once again on the Mount of Olives looking at Jerusalem. And Luke tells us that Jesus wept over the city. 2 days before, he had been looking at fans that celebrated his arrival. This day, he's looking for followers. And he continues to do the same today. As he looks at you, wherever you are today, Jesus weeps over fans. He's looking for followers. What happened in the intervening period between his entry into Jerusalem with all the festivities and the celebration, and a couple days later as he wept looking at the city? Well, he had gone into the temple and he had cleaned it out once again. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes had been battling with him verbally, trying to trap him so that they could arrest him. Finally, in chapter 23 of Matthew, and if you have your Bibles, if you'd open to Matthew 23, Jesus says to the people, be careful about your religious leaders. In fact, he says to them in chapter 23, verse 2, they sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you. Listen to what they're teaching you from the scriptures, but not what they do, for they preach, but they do not practice. And then as Jesus continues down through the rest of chapter 23, Jesus addresses the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders themselves, and he addresses them with these words over and over and over again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Over and over again, he warns them of judgment until he comes to the end of chapter 23. And in verse 37, Jesus looks down over the city and he says these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Fans, followers, what's the difference between them? Well, if we think of our own context today, this should be baseball season, right? I mean, we should be having baseball games. And if you're like me, you're a fan of baseball. I guess I am a real fan of baseball. I love to watch it on TV. I love even more to go to a game. I try to take my family at least once a year to down to the stadium. And there is something about being at a baseball game. You've got amazing athletes down there playing. But the pace of the game is such that it lets you talk to your family and your friends you've gone with, getting hot dogs and something to drink. And maybe if it's a Friday night, you've got the fireworks afterwards. It is a celebration. I'm a fan of baseball. But then there are the people who are sitting there in their seats in the stadium, and they've got their notebook open, and they're tracking the box scores, and they know the batting average of every guy coming to the plate. And when the pitcher changes, they know this pitcher, this one likes to throw curveballs, this one likes to throw sinkers. They are followers, not fans. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, are we fans or followers of Jesus? As you hear Jesus' words in verse 37, his emotion, his compassion is palpable. As Luke relates this event, he says that Jesus wept over the city, over the people in the city. These are Jesus' last words to the crowds. It's the last thing he will say to all the crowds. And from this point onward until his death, Jesus speaks to his followers, to his disciples alone. He's looking for followers. What are fans like? Well, fans love to show up. just like they showed up with all of the excitement and the commotion as Jesus made his way down the Mount of Olives. The fans love to show up. But as Jesus says in verse 37, they reject the message and the messenger. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. And those two verbs, to kill and to stone, are present participles. That means this is just the order of the day. This is how it always is. They love the event. They love the people who come speaking for God. They love the celebration, but they don't really like the words. And when it comes down to it, they may not like the individual who was sent. They refuse to trust Jesus as the one who's going to save them. He says, I would gather you like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. A hen does that to protect her chicks, but they don't want his protection. They don't want him to save them. What's surprising about that is back in chapter 21 and in verse 9, as Jesus is entering the city on that Palm Sunday, the people are saying this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna is lifted from Psalm 118 and verse 25. And what it really means is, save us, O Lord, save us. So although they were shouting it sort of as an acclamation of praise, the words they were saying were, save us, O Lord. It was the call to a Messiah to save them, but they didn't really want to be saved. In their heart of hearts, they wanted a celebration. Maybe if Jesus would take on the Romans, that would be good. But Jesus says, I want to take you on. I want to bring you under my wings. That is not what they were looking for. Now, what does a fan of Jesus look like today? Well, it could be like the Pharisees, the scribes, who were outright rejecting him. It could be that. But many fans of Jesus just say, you know, I'm okay. I like church. I like worship. I like celebration. I like getting together with people. I like the organ and I like the choir, or I like maybe the band. I like the lights on the stage, but I'm okay, really. I think I'm okay. And if I really need Jesus, I'll call out to him when I really need him. But most of the time, life is okay. Some fans of Jesus will say, well, I just want to cover my bases. You know, I want to be good because I think if I'm good, that will help God be happy with me. I want to say whatever I need to say to Jesus because I need to cover those bases. Jesus is just one of those dimensions, those things that we add on to make sure that we're going to get to heaven someday. For some of us as fans, it's a matter of just putting Jesus off. You know, we want to celebrate. We'd love to be in church on Easter or on Palm Sunday. We'd love the music. We'd love to have the vibrancy of all the energy that comes with that music that's coming live to us. But we're not sure we want to get serious with Jesus. If we got too much on our plates right now, someday maybe we'll need to get there, but right now we're okay. Or as Jesus said, they really didn't want to hear the message. And some of us, we like certain words of Jesus, but not all of them. We'd like to pick and choose. We love it when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We like that, but we sort of feel uncomfortable when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we say, well, that's sort of too exclusive, Jesus. I don't like that part. Or we say we like it when Jesus says, when you are sick, pray to me. That's good. We want to talk to him when we're sick. But we don't like it when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you need to love me more than you love your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your children. You need to put me first. You need to forsake everything else and follow me. Well, Jesus, that's not the part I like. You see, when Jesus speaks, the message, all of the message needs to be accepted because he is the king. He's a protector, he's a savior, but he's the king, and we can't pick and choose. He says, you have stoned, you have rejected the ones that have been sent to you. And what is the outcome for fans? Well, we see it in verse 38. Jesus says, see, your house is left to you desolate, all alone, complete emptiness. Your house being your life, what your world is, it becomes empty. And finally, when we stand before God at the end of the day of judgment, we're empty. We have nothing to stand on. We are desolate. And beyond that, Jesus says in verse 39, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, they had just said those words a couple days before. That was part of their celebration, but it wasn't from their heart. Jesus says, you won't see me again. The rejection of Jesus has drastic consequences, that we're without him. And if we stand before the judgment seat of God without the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for our sins, we will be judged because we haven't accepted that he took our sins and took that judgment. We've rejected that. The outcome of being a fan is being desolate, empty, and without Jesus, without hope. But what are followers? Well, followers are those who hear Jesus say, I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a farm where you've been able to see a hen gather her chicks under her wings when there's danger. But just take a look at this video and see how amazing that is. Isn't it amazing how as an enemy approaches, and in this video a dog, as the enemy approaches, the hen begins to cluck. It's a unique cluck. It's a unique sound, and all the chicks know, and they come running. She spreads her wings to protect them at the risk of her own life. She will lay her own life down. Jesus knew at the end of this week, he would lay his life down for all of them. And he invites them to come under his protection. He's going to take their punishment for their sins upon himself. He welcomes them. He's looking for followers. But followers hear his voice, and they come running to him alone. And when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Followers hear that. Jesus said, he's the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Have you heard Jesus calling to you? As you look at these verses, if you put your name in the place of Jerusalem, oh John, oh Susie, oh Joe, the ones who have listened to the words and yet rejected it, how often I would gather you as a hen would gather her brood beneath her wings. Jesus is calling to you. Would you come to him? Would you trust him alone for your salvation? He wants to gather you under his wings. And when you are gathered under his wings, you are close to him. Not desolate, not left alone, but drawn into the very presence of Jesus, into the presence of God the Father, given access into the Holy of Holies. And as Luke tells this account, Jesus said this. He said, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Jesus wants to give you peace, not just peace in your soul as you realize that all of your sins, all of your failures have been forgiven, but peace with God that you have rebelled against. He gives you peace. The outcome for followers is so different than it is for fans. The outcome for outcome for fans is to be left desolate. The outcome for followers is to be brought close, to be saved from danger, to be forgiven, to be protected, to be in the very presence of our Savior and Lord. But there's one certainty for everyone. And we find that in verse 39 when Jesus says, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" It's recognizing that he is sent from God the Father, that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And we recognize him. We worship him. One day, everyone will do that. Even those who are just fans, one day will bow before him and recognize that he alone is Lord. But by then, it will be too late. But followers, recognizing that today, experience his presence moment by moment in their lives. So the question for you and for me is this: are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? The outcomes couldn't be more different. To be left desolate as a fan, empty and without hope, or to be brought close to God himself and to be saved from the danger of hell and the danger of the punishment of our sins. Jesus knew that he would sacrifice himself in just a few days on the cross. If you're a fan, Jesus weeps over you today, and he invites you to come and be saved by him. You can bow your head and ask him to forgive you for your sins and tell him, "Jesus, I trust that you alone have died for me, that you alone can save me. There is no other place, nothing I can do, no other place I can run. You alone are my Savior." If you say that to him, even wherever you are right now, he will save you. If you're a follower of Jesus, treasure his closeness. As he draws you into his presence, he draws you close to himself. You'll also find others who have been drawn under his wings. No, they aren't perfect. You aren't perfect, I'm not perfect, but we're under the wings of a perfect Savior, and it's a beautiful place to be. The celebrations where fans gather have been limited these days. We're not able to get together in big groups. We're not able to get together and have all of the celebration of music. But the experience of followers, of being held in the presence of God and protected by Jesus, that can be experienced today in a unique and powerful way. Jesus weeps over fans, but Jesus saves followers. Where do you land today? I'm so thankful that you've been able to join us this morning. My prayer for each one of you is that you will not be a fan of Jesus, but be a follower. Experience his forgiveness, experience his salvation, and step into his presence, being drawn close to him. We look forward this next week on Friday to celebrating Good Friday. We'll have a live simulcast and hope that you can join us at 12 noon on Friday. And then next week on Sunday, let's gather together as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a glorious Savior we have. God bless you.